You're listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Produced by Radio Mankato with your host, Historical Society Executive Director Jessica Potter. And now, Surrounded by History.
Hello and welcome to Surrounded by History. I'm your host, Jessica Potter with the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Joining me today is Radio Mankato's Jeff Lang. Each week, this program explores the history all around us. The history in plain sight. Jeff, have you ever ridden on a train?
I have, but I don't think it was like a full-on train ride. Like it wasn't like an Amtrak or anything like that.
Okay.
But I had an obsession with trains as a kid. I loved them. I was a model train collector, H-O for show. Yeah, so
all right.
I had really always had a good time.
Okay. Have you ever seen a train in Mankato?
I've seen the trains come through Mankato.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never actually seen them. Stop, I guess, really, outside of what they do, whatever, yeah. You know, with the working trains.
Right. Did you know that the railway systems to transport goods and people to and from Mankato have been in place for over 150 years?
I would not be surprised by that because, mm-hmm. We've been here since 1852. So.
God, nice job.
Thank you.
Nice. So today we will explore when the railroad came to Blue Earth County in 1868.
Can I start us off?
Please do.
Okay. All aboard! Let's be surrounded by history!
Nice.
I should have brought my train whistle. I have a train whistle.
Oh, I should have told you ahead of time. That would have been awesome. All right, so Mankato and Blue Earth County were founded, as Jeff already told us, in 1852 and 1853, respectively, while Minnesota was still a territory and not yet a state. Within 16 years of this newly formed community, Blue Earth County was experiencing considerable growth. In 1868, over 40,000 acres of land was under cultivation, over half of which were planted in wheat, with a harvest of 550,000 bushels. As a result, milling flourished and manufacturing of farm implements was a big business. The wool trade for the spring of 1868 amounted to nearly 44,000 pounds.
Wow.
And the fur trade continued strong with $88,000 worth of pelts bought by Mankato furriers. With such growth, the county was in need of a commercial expansion. But transport of goods by horse-drawn wagon was slow with limited cargo space, and steamboat service on the Minnesota River was seasonal as well as unreliable. And so there was cause for great celebration in the fall of 1868 when the Minnesota Valley Railroad reached Mankato, connecting the county with the outside commercial world through a network of rail lines, many of which are still used today.
That's going to be the most interesting part about this whole story. I can tell you already. I'm excited because I bet you that some of the rail tracks have been the same rail tracks. I mean, updated, obviously, but yeah. The same rail beds as they were in 1850 or 18, whatever this year is.
68.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm excited.
It's crazy.
Okay.
So let's jump in. The Minnesota Valley Railroad Company was incorporated by an act of the Minnesota legislature approved on March 4th, 1864, so 4 years before. The company planned a rail line from St. Paul to Mankato. It was very common for railroad companies to ask for financial support from the communities they would serve. Many communities obliged as they were eager for the service and what they hoped it would do for their community. Such was the case as construction of the Minnesota Valley Railroad inched closer to Mankato in 1868. In the spring of 1868, the company proposed to Mankato that they would complete the railway into Mankato by December 1st if a bonus of $15,000 in bonds for the right-of-way over 4th Street and for depot grounds between Plum and Elm Streets were given. The residents voted in favor 423-142. The city preferred the line come in nearer the Minnesota River, but the company was against it due to additional cost to grade along the river. So 4th Street, it was to be. During the summer of 1868, the Minnesota Valley Railway Company contracted more than 500 people to grade and lay tiles and tracks from Kasota to Mankato. The railroad kept their end of the agreement and reached Mankato on October 3rd, 1868, 2 months earlier than their proposal. The main line was known as the 4th Street Route, and the railroad occupied the 4th Street right-of-way from Madison Avenue to Mulberry Street. You can still see the right-of-way and the boulevard along 4th Street from Madison Avenue to Elm Street. That's a little spot called Turtle Lot Parkway.
Yeah.
Okay, that was the railroad.
Oh, there you go.
A timber frame depot was the showcase on this route, with this and the other where the depot sat was today where Washington Park is. Directly north of the depot across Washington Street was a freight house, a four-stall brick engine house, turntables, and a nearby stockyard. Also a branch of the Mankato Street Car Railway Company, which provided horse-drawn transportation between the depot and the downtown Mankato, was located here.
We're hitting all kinds of old podcasts with this. The Washington Park one, the streetcar one. I love it. And it's also very hard to actually picture, by the way, turntable or whatever it's called. Yeah, turntable. Yep. A stockyard all in that same area.
I know.
It's hard to picture that.
It is. So you're thinking about Washington Park now. It's all right. Houses and buildings. And yeah, so just, but in 1868... You know, this is a blank slate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So very exciting. On October 8th, the first freight shipment left Mankato bound for Chicago, carrying 200 barrels of flour from the Red Jacket Mills near Mankato. Passenger service didn't get underway until mid-October. To honor the coming of the railroad and the people responsible, Mankato held a great celebration on October 23, 1868. At an early hour, Blue Earth County farmers began to arrive, lining the streets with wagons and buggies. Front Street was soon bustling with people. About noon, the Mankato Cornet Band led the crowd to the depot. As the train arrived, 500 guests from St. Paul, Minneapolis, and intermediate points received loud and hearty cheers. Among the dignitaries welcomed by Mankato's mayor were ex-governors Henry Sibley and Alexander Ramsey, St. Paul's mayor and Edmund Rice, quote, the father of railroads in Minnesota, end quote. The crowd processed from the depot to a new brick building on Front Street for a giant feast served outdoors. Following the banquet, officials from around the state praised Mankato's cooperation in building the railroad and especially commended E.F. Drake, the head of construction. A number of the visitors' impressions of the railroad celebration at Mankato were reported in their local newspapers. The St. Paul Press praised Mankato's handsome location, its seven churches, new school building, and flourishing normal school of 60 pupils. So remember, this is all 1868,
right.
And they're describing what Mankato looks like, okay?
It was handsome.
The St. Paul Dispatch was impressed with the number of factories, including a, quote, a woolen mill, several flouring and lumber mills, sash and door factories, furniture and machine shops, a pottery, tannery, oil mill, and others,
wow.
End quote. The Winona Democrat commented on, quote, the miraculous growth of Mankato, its long rows of splendid brick and stone business houses, its numerous elegant private residences, and above all, its never-ceasing whirl of business, end quote. So I love these descriptions.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's incredible. And you think about that, we're just a brand new little community. And now you've got these other towns that have been around longer are just totally gushing over.
It's sounding like the big city folk came down and like, oh, there's a town down here.
Exactly.
And they realized how great it was and they had to go gush about it.
Exactly, which is fantastic. Mankato was now part of the outside world. The new timetables for the Minnesota Valley Railroad went into operation, and the Mankato Weekly Record reported, quote, two daily passenger trains arriving and departing with commendable promptness.
On time.
On time. On time. The day after the festivities, another historic event worthy of celebration occurred at the Front Street Depot.
Fourth Street.
4th Street.
Yeah,
4th Street Depot. The first message on the newly completed Northwestern Telegraph Line was received by Operator Drake, providing the county faster access to different distant places by wire as well as by rail. On October 29th, St. Paul, in turn, hosted a Mankato excursion to their city to celebrate the completion of the Minnesota Valley Railroad. 200 tickets were issued by the railroad company and distributed to leading citizens by the Common Council. As reported in the Mankato Record, the Mankato delegation, quote, sped through wood and swamp and over prairies and trestle work, end quote, toward St. Paul, past ponds and lakes sparkling like beads of silver and covered with countless numbers of wild fowl, end quote. Upon arriving in St. Paul, the group was met by cheering crowds, and the Great Western Band led them over the Mississippi River Bridge to 3rd Street, which was hung with banners and lined with throngs of people. They stopped at the International Hotel and crowded into a room intending to toast the occasion. But just as the Mankato mayor raised his glass, the floor gave way from the weight of the throng and the dignitaries all disappeared beneath a cloud of dust.
Wow.
Rushing to the cellar to offer aid, Mankatonians arrived to see the dust clear away and the tall figure of their gallant mayor still holding aloft his glass. Fortunately, no one was injured.
No kidding.
After a feast worthy of a king, toasts and speeches, treats of cigars, and other light things, quote unquote, the crowd returned to the depot for an uproarious trip home. I just love the language.
I do. I love the language of the newspaper writing. And then on top of that, the way they just tell everything, it's such a painted picture.
I know. You can see the whole thing, can't
right?
you? I'd love
and
it.
I there's so many things there. It's like, by the way, it's also like one big party. Let's go get really, really drunk in St. Paul. The train is going to be our sober cab.
That's right. Yeah. And take it back to Mankato. From this gloriously celebrated beginning, the railroad soon extended in a network throughout Blue Earth County to bring increased growth in agriculture, business, industry, and cultural enrichment to South Central Minnesota residents. The coming of the railroad made Mankato the leading and about the only market point for wheat in southern Minnesota. From the event of the railroad in October of 1868 to not even a year later, July 1869, over 300,000 bushels of wheat and nearly 21,000 bushels of flour had been shipped out of the city by rail.
Now, we have more on that. We did a podcast with the Hubbard family and the Hubbard Milling Company, right?
We did.
So we can go back into the podcast and find that story as well. I love that. I love when these stories intersect with other stories and we can like, oh, wait, I know this part already. That's awesome. Let's continue more with this as we come back to Surrounded by History after this.
Welcome back to Surrounded by History. Today we're talking about when the railroad arrived in Blue Earth County. Between 1870 and 1907, a network of rail lines extended throughout Blue Earth County, totaling 7 in all, 5 of which radiated from Mankato. In conjunction with the rail lines, a number of new town sites were plotted, usually near existing settlements. On April 7th, 1869, the name of the company was changed from the Minnesota Valley Railroad Company to the St. Paul and Sioux City Railroad Company. The company operated lines from Minnesota to Iowa and lasted until 1881 when it merged with two other Wisconsin railroads to form the Chicago, St. Paul, Minneapolis, and Omaha Railway. So the whole point was they just kept listing all the places that they would connect.
Yeah. So like the farthest points
yes.
were originally St. Paul and Sioux City. That's the farthest points
right.
they'd go.
Right. Right. So they just kept adding. Mm-hmm, and then they just kind of – so as we go forward, you'll hear just so many names getting pulled thrown together.
Right. My model train set was Santa Fe brand.
Oh.
Which, by the way, did merge with Burlington Northern.
There you go.
So I don't –
there you go.
I don't know if Burlington made coats and they got a train line or what. Okay.
By By the summer of 1869, just about 6 months after arriving in Mankato, the St. Paul and Sioux City Railroad reached Crystal Lake. In anticipation of its arrival, the new town of Lake Crystal was laid out in May, and in 4 months, what had been a field was a thriving village of 40 buildings.
Wow, in 4 months?
In 4 months.
Wow.
A second rail line was added in the 1880s, and soon 23 trains a day were coming to Lake Crystal. The second railroad to extend into Blue Earth County was the Winona and St. Peter Line, a part of the Chicago Northwestern Railroad system. By August of 1870, the track was completed to Burgess Mill, which today is known as Eagle Lake.
Oh, okay.
The first train arrived at that train. The first one on that line arrived in Mankato in August 26, 1870.
Okay.
Other booming villages followed as soon as stations on the developing rail lines were designated. Besides the depot and the post office, elevators were a priority for the rich agricultural area. Quick to follow were businesses that provided the basic needs for a thriving town. Miniopa Village, plotted in 1870, provides an interesting illustration of a new railroad town site and a resort area. Besides the Miniopa Depot, the railroad constructed an elevator from which 19,000 bushels of wheat were shipped to St. Paul in November of that year. A lumberyard, store, blacksmith shop, hotel, and other buildings soon followed. As the railroad brought people that took excursions from as far away as St. Paul and Winona, the Miniopa Falls area was cleared and improved with footbridges, trails, and stairs down into the glen below the falls. Huge camp meetings of 3,000 to 5,000 people, as well as groups from lodges, schools, and granges, gathered during the summer. Business flourished. But even the railroads could not save the town from the devastation of the grasshopper plagues in the mid-1870s. Miniopa Village declined, even though the railroad continued to bring excursionists to this noted pleasure resort well into the 1900s when the land became part of Miniopa State Park.
Another former podcast all about Miniopa, which I loved, learned that Miniopa Park was the home of the first county fair, right?
Yes.
And also the fact that we tried to become a town and then this happened.
Right, exactly.
So it's just exciting to read about. I
love
it.
Yeah, so if you want to learn a lot more about Miniopa, dive into that podcast. So back to the railroad. In 1874, the Mankato to Wells, Minnesota track was laid, the third line in the county and the first connection south. 3 years earlier, as designated stations on the route became known, three new town sites were plotted: Rapidan, Good Thunder, and Mapleton. By the end of September of 1874, daily trains were running to Good Thunder, and on November 17th, a celebration of the completed rail line to Wells was held. In 1879, the line was sold to the Chicago-Milwaukee Railroad, much to the disappointment of the St. Paul and Sioux City Railroad, whose officers had all but sealed the purchase contract. Piqued by such underhanded dealings, the St. Paul and Sioux City Company built a rival line from Lake Crystal via Garden City, Vernon Center, and Amboy on its way south to a major east-west rail line. Originally, a station was planned at Shelbyville, but when the town voted down a $10,000 railroad bonus, the St. Paul and Sioux City plotted the new village of Amboy for their station, a mile and a half north, causing Shelbyville to become deserted within a few years.
I didn't even know there was a town called Shelbyville.
Not anymore.
Well, yeah, it's not.
Eventually, the line carried 8 passenger trains and 2 freight trains a day. The Chicago Great Western Railroad, being built westward from Faribault, reached Madison Lake in 1884 and Mankato 3 years later. Madison Lake was already a popular summer resort with guests coming to Point Pleasant.
We did that in another podcast, and there was a train at this time, or was it before this, that went from Mankato to that line, out to there?
Exactly, just to get people to come back and forth between Mankato and Point Pleasant. And the train that took people out to Point Pleasant was bringing people as far as Chicago, Kansas City, and Omaha. And the new town site, platted with the arrival of the railroad, became a thriving business center, shipping grain, potatoes, and sometimes over 10 carloads of lumber a day.
Wow.
In 1899, the Chicago Northwestern laid their quote-unquote short line up the Minnesota River Valley from Mankato to New Ulm, adding two new town sites, Judson and Cambria, both plotted in the early spring of 1900. In 1902, the Chicago Great Western built the present Union Depot in Mankato, contracting to share it with the Chicago-Milwaukee line, which was already sharing their roundhouse. The last rail line constructed in Blue Earth County was Chicago-Milwaukee's quote-unquote alphabet line.
I feel like we're starting to play Monopoly now.
I know, yeah. I know. Laid in 1907 from Albert Lea north through Pemberton to St. Clair. As in the case of Amboy and the defunct Shelbyville, the newly plotted town of Pemberton prospered while the settlement of Cream, without a depot, disappeared. By early 1900, adjustments and expansions had pretty well settled into stable patterns, and thus came the rise of passenger travel by train. If Mankato residents were traveling any significant distance out of the area, they'd go by rail. And they could go to the depot almost any time of the day and catch a train. In the early 1920s, there were 22 passenger trains per day in Mankato.
22 a day. Wow.
11 arriving and 11 departing. The ticket office was open 24 hours a day. People could hop on the train for a movie, shopping, or an extended visit. The last passenger train through Mankato was on July 22nd, 1963.
Oh, wow. Not that long ago then.
No. With the coming of automobiles, truck transit, and interstate highway system, the dependence on rail declined. Rail still accounts for approximately 28% of the total U.S. freight movement by tons per mile, according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. Many of those early railway lines and tracks have been removed over the years and are now used for bicycle, hiking, or cross-country skiing trails. But the railroads in their day proved to be much-needed catalyst in the growth of settlement, agriculture, business, and industry in Blue Earth County. We hope you enjoyed today's program as we explored when the railroad came to Blue Earth County. All of the information we shared today comes from the archives of the Blue Earth County Historical Society. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, we hope you see the history that surrounds you.
You've been listening to Surrounded by History, a podcast from the Blue Earth County Historical Society, produced by Radio Mankato. For more information on this and other topics, visit BlueEarthCountyHistory.com or stop by the Blue Earth County History Center at 424 Warren Street in Mankato. Thanks for listening to Surrounded by History.